Is it working? There it goes. All right, they got me on. They didn't want me to say anything this morning. That's all right. They thought I was going to say something about a mask. That's what it was. Anyhow, pray for the preacher as he's off visiting with the family for a while. He's going to be here for Restore-a-thon, and maybe he'll do a Sunday school lesson while he's here. So we'll see. Get finished in the book of Revelations. So anyhow, this morning, we're going to go to Jonah. We've been talking a little bit about Jonah. I think we've got right at chapter 2. We're going to review a little bit this morning just because I need to kind of get me back on track, get me back where we need to be. When we started the book of Jonah, everything kind of went down on Jonah. Everything started with his disobedience. God had given him a commandment, and he disobeyed it, and that kind of brought on all of his troubles, and I think that every one of us in here can relate to that. I know I can. I think I spoke about that a couple of weeks ago when God first called me into the ministry and how I put on my running shoes and took off, you know, out of fear. And that's what a lot of us do when we're called to do anything from the Lord, you know, whatever part of the ministry it may be. Most of us at some point in our life can look back and see where we at one time or another we had run from God. And when we do that, we're being disobedient. And by being disobedient, we allow all kinds of problems and issues to arise and come into our lives. And that's when we went to Ephesians 6:12, and I read this verse here to you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We open ourselves up to that. You know, we deal with this on a daily basis. But when we run from God and we just allow more things into our lives. Anyhow, Jonah is a small book. It's only four chapters. There's only 48 verses in the entire book. So it's something that you can read fairly quickly and get through. And if you put a little study time into it, it'll be very valuable to you. Because I think we can look at what Jonah did and look at the lessons that's been taught. And we can take out a lot and apply that to our own lives. And it's easy for us to see how easy it is for us to get off track. Now, Jonah means dove. And did you hear me? I thought you said you couldn't hear me. Okay, Jonah means dove. And we talked a little bit about some of the attributes that we're going to see throughout the book of Jonah. And one of those attributes was unfaithful. And a lot of us, I know we can all relate to that. Now, let me just give you an example of unfaithfulness, because this is something that would apply to a lot of people. Tithing. Yeah. If we don't tithe, then we're being unfaithful to God. And I know right there, as soon as I said that, a lot of people said, there you go. There goes a preacher. First thing, you want to talk about money, right? God doesn't need your money. Let me just tell you that. God does not need your money. It's all his. He'll take what he wants and when he wants. It gives you an opportunity to be a servant. It gives you an opportunity to be faithful. It gives us as individuals, it's an opportunity that we can show God that we trust him. We believe in him, and we can honor him with our faithfulness. Now, their tithe might be $1,000. Somebody else's tithe might be $5, might be a dollar. But whatever it is, it doesn't matter the size of the tithe. A person that can give that $1, just to give that dollar and be faithful doing it, is being a good servant unto the Lord. And by doing that, we're staying track, we're being obedient to God, and our lives go along better. And it gives God a chance to bless us for honoring him. So when we don't tithe, then we're being just like Jonah was in his unfaithfulness, we're being unfaithful. And there's a lot of other examples, and it doesn't matter which part of a life that we apply what to. Unfaithfulness is going to bring the same problems as it brought to Jonah. And we don't realize that sometimes as Christians when things are going on in our lives. We need to back up and look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves sometimes and say, look, what am I doing wrong? What's going on? We also talked a little bit about sometimes how a storm that you may be in, it might not even be your storm. It might be somebody that you know. It might be a family member. It might be somebody else's storm that you're involved in. Remember when Jonah got onto the ship and the ship was being tossed? And he was in the storm with his mariners that was on the ship with him. They were in the same storm. But it was Jonah's sin that brought that storm about. And we'll see that as we go through the book. But it was his sin. It's the same way with us. Sometimes we're the ones that's causing the storm. And sometimes it's somebody else's storm that we're involved in. So when we are unfaithful to God or we're disobedient to God, it brings in trouble, not just for us. I remember when I was a teenager, and I know I said this a couple of weeks ago, but I remember as a young man that I would say, well, what I do doesn't affect what you do. It's my life. What I do with it is my business. But that's not true. You know, we say these things in ignorance because we don't know. We don't understand. And a lot of Christians today are still that way. We can be 50 and be ignorant. Because we don't understand what's going on in our lives. We don't understand what's going on in our own lives, let alone somebody else's. But when we disobey God, and there's so many ways of doing that, we allow issues into our lives that affect not only us, but people around us. And that's the reason I like this book so much. We learn so much from Jonah. Now, I know I asked what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you talk about Jonah, the whale. And that's normal. Because as a child, we know of Jonah and the whale. Jonah and the whale. And that's all good. But we never seem to pursue further than that. You know, and we need to dig into God's word and see what's in it for us. And if we'll take time and just read through this story slowly and look up some references and whatnot, we gain so much out of it. Another one, Jonah was being disobedient. When God commanded him to go into Nineveh and he didn't go, that was the first sign of disobedience. Well, how many times has God asked us to do something and we don't do it? Well, then we're being disobedient, just like Jonah, no different. It doesn't matter how big or how small the task is. If you're being disobedient, you're being disobedient. You take a child, and the problem with that is it's a sin curse. It's natural for us to be disobedient. As Christians, we have to make ourselves do right. It's just like a little child. You take a child that just begins to speak. Do you have to teach it to lie? No. It does it automatically. It's the sin curse. And it's the same way with us. We're just big children. So our sin nature is to be disobedient. So it's easy for us to fall into these traps. So we have to make ourselves as believers serve God in the way we ought to. And what's the best way to do that? Is to continually remind ourselves. I don't know about you, but I studied this little chapter right here 15 times and I still can't remember it. I had to write notes down here. I'm like, man, my mind's gone. But you know, the problem is it's part of the sin curse. And you see, we got so much going on in our lives. We got so many other things that we're dealing with every day that it's really hard to get a focus on one thing. And that's the problem I had when I was studying for this. You know, it's trying to stay focused on that in which we have, because you got so many other things that we have to deal with. And that applies to all of us. All of us have busy lives today. Sometimes we're way too busy. Life was much simpler when things were much smaller, wasn't it? But still, as Christians and as believers, if we're going to stay in God's service and we want to be good servants, we don't want to be unfaithful, we don't want to be disobedient, then we've got to stay focused on the task at hand. And we need to stay. And that's the reason I like to read books like Jonah. It reminds me constantly of how much I am just like Jonah. And it's easy for us. We go all the way back to the garden and we want to point fingers at everybody else. And it's easy for us to do that. We can blame all of our problems on somebody else. We can always find somebody to blame it on. Just like myself, I know if anything goes wrong, it's my wife's fault. It's got to be. Couldn't be me. But see, that's the easy way out, isn't it? To blame it on somebody else. When in reality, no matter what happened, it's my fault. I'm the head of the household. See, so when we put things into perspective the way they ought to be, we look at things differently. But see, we don't do that. We just being humanistic as we are, we don't want to be, but we are. We jump into conclusions. Well, we need to stay focused. And this books like this will help us to stay focused on what we need to be focused on. And one of the next attributes of Jonah was proud. You know, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was proud. We're the same way. We say, no, we're not. Yes, we are. You see people all over the place. You can't go away. You go to Walmart, people got a phone now. And taking those selfies. That's proud. They're all that. Man, I'm everything in the world.
No, that's not the right attitude. That's not the way we're supposed to be. But that's pride. But that's what Jonah did. Jonah said, you know what? I'm not going to Nineveh. Why do I want to go there? I don't want to preach to those people. They're thugs. And we said, well, we're not like that. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are. How do we feel about the Muslim people? How do you feel about Nancy Pelosi? How do you feel about our president? You'd take a lot of ropes, wouldn't you? Folks, let me tell you something. That's not, see, the things that come to our minds, that's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to, that's where Jonah was. Remember we talked about Jonah being a Hebrew? And by being a Hebrew, he's better than everybody else. He's God's chosen, you know? And that's the attitude we have. Think about it. How many times, how many people in here right now, don't raise your hand, but how many people in here right now has a family member that you don't like? Yeah, you're mad at. You got a child, a son or a daughter that you won't speak to because they did some little something to hurt your feelings. Poo-hoo. Think about that. But that's reality because that's where we live. We have there's people in this room right now that don't like a family member. That's pride. Just like Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh for that very same reason. Now think about this. Is that family member you're mad at going to hell because you're too proudful to swallow whatever it was that they did or said? Some stupid something that doesn't mean anything. Because it doesn't mean anything. But there's so many of us that have that same problem. It's called pride. Folks, we all have that in some way. Every one of us have to be aware of that. We have to constantly. I mean, I've caught myself. You see somebody, you're like, No. You need to witness to those people. They're going to hell just like you were until you got saved. Somebody felt pity on you and introduced you to Jesus and you got saved. Dr. Bradley was preaching yesterday at Senior Patriots. Thank you, brother. It was awesome. Does a wonderful job. He mentioned yesterday that there's only two kinds of people in this world. Saved sinners and lost sinners. If you're a saved sinner, you're blessed. Amen. Then you have the lost sinners. And because of our pride, just like Jonah, a lot of these lost sinners are going to go to hell. Because we're too prideful to bring the gospel to them. Thank God that the Lord intervened here and turned Jonah and got him back on track. And he did go to Nineveh. And then one of the other attributes we talked about was being stubborn. Now, I know there's nobody in here stubborn. My wife left, right? No, she's still here. People are stubborn. And we'll say that we're not stubborn. Well, let me just give you a little example of being stubborn. Then think about it, whether or not you're stubborn. I know I'm stubborn. My daddy used to say I was mule-headed. You're mule-headed, boy. God bless him. Folks, when somebody asks you to do something, no matter what it is, somebody asks you to slice potatoes, and instead you decide you're going to dice them. Because that's the way I always do it. Doesn't matter what you always do. You were asked to slice the potatoes, but you diced them because that's what you do. That's called being stubborn. You take it any way you want to. It's being stubborn. And all of us have a little bit of that in us. Every single one of us have that. And then another attribute we talked about was being cantankerous. Folks, growing old, run your antenna up, because I know there's nobody in here too old, but being old does not give you the right to be cantankerous. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm 86. I'll be the way I want to be. That's not the Christian way. That's your way. That is the unfaithful, disobedient, proud, stubborn way is to be cantankerous. So if that's what you choose to do, then you're being disobedient to your God. Think about that. Just because we age, now I know, this morning when I come in the door, my hips started hurting. I told my wife, I said, my hip's killing me already. How am I going to stand up here for 30 minutes and teach this morning? Well, when the singing started, my hip stopped hurting. Praise God. There is a God in heaven. Amen. Folks, but because we get older and we have things that ail us and we can't do the things that we used to do, we can't run and play baseball and softball and play basketball. And we can't go roller skating. Some of us can't go bowling. So because we can't do those things and we see younger people do them, we want to be cantankerous about it. That's not right. You should be happy for the ones who still can do it. Thank God that he allowed you to do it, that you had two legs and two arms to do it with. And today in your life, you need to be uplifting, praying, and upholding your fellow Christians. Amen. Take some of that cantankerousness and pray for your president. He needs prayer. You know, his whole problem, think about this, folks. The whole problem with our nation today is they're lost. We have a government that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's no need in them telling me they have or they do, because they don't. It's obvious. You can tell by the fruits of their labor. So what should we be doing? Pray for them. Now, I don't agree with them. I don't like what they do, not one bit. But we can complain about it, and we do. But that's not going to change anything. We're going to go through life just like Jonah. We're going to go right down that same path, and nothing's going to change. But if we'll keep ourselves, so folks, let me just put it like this. If you and I were submissive to God the way we were supposed to be, if you and I had looked at these same attributes of Jonah, if we'd have looked at these and applied them to ourselves and kept ourselves in obedience to God, and we were faithful to God, and we got rid of that proudness and the stubbornness and all the cantankerousness. If we'd have got rid of all that, if we'd have got rid of our, we might not be Hebrew, but we're Baptists, amen? That's the closest thing to it, right? Amen. But if we'd have looked at that and applied these things to our life as we see the mistakes that Jonah made, then we would be in cahoots with God. We wouldn't be amiss. We would be right with God. And our prayers would go a lot further. And we would be on our knees more. We would be praying more. We would be serving better. We would be better Christians. And by doing so, our churches would be full. Our churches, this is what we do. We blame everything on the ways of the world. But our churches aren't going broke and closing and being emptied because of the world. Amen. The world has always been the world. It's always been the sinful place. It hasn't changed. What's changing is you and I as Christians. We're not examining ourselves, and we're not applying the rules and the lessons that we learn through scriptures. We're not applying that to our lives. If we were to apply that to our lives, then we would be where we need to be. We would be soul winning. We'd be knocking doors. We wouldn't be coming in here like a cold church. We wouldn't be coming here on Sunday morning. Amen, amen, go home, eat lunch, go to bed, come back Sunday night, and do it again Wednesday. And the rest of the week, it is what it is, and we don't do anything. That's not where we're supposed to be as Christians. And if we were serving God, and by the way, when we do that, we're being disobedient to God. I don't care if you're 8 years old or 80 years old. If that is your life this week, then you're being disobedient. You're just like Jonah. And you've got storms coming your way that you don't even know about yet. But things are not going to be looking good for you. It's going to get rough. Everything that we read about here is really pretty simple and practical. That's the reason I like it so much. I'm simple-minded. So the easier it is, the better I like it, because I can grab a hold to it a little better. The Ninevites were very violent people. They were pagans. And I'm sure Jonah, being Hebrew and being God's chosen, he looked down on them kind of like we would the Muslims. So Jonah didn't want to go and preach to Nineveh. And I'm sure that was part of the reason why Jonah decided, you know what? I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to go the way I want to go. So when God gave him direction and told him where to go, he put on his running shoes and went the other direction. And that was his first sin against God. That was the, well, maybe not his first sin, but the first sin in the book. It's the first place that we see that he's being disobedient. And then let's read, I read Matthew 28, 19 and 22. I'm going to read it to you again today. This is our theme verse for senior patrons. It said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. That's a commandment from God. Just like God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, God has commanded us to go into the world and bring the gospel. So just like Adam in the garden, we can point fingers and we can look at Jonah. So we can see, it's easy for us to see where Jonah went wrong. Why is it so hard for us to see where we go wrong? Isn't it amazing how we can just look over there at Jonah and we can see where he messed up? And we're sitting here in the room doing the exact same thing. We're being disobedient. We're not doing what God asked us to do. And yet we can't see that. That's amazing, isn't it? That's why these little simple things, if we get into the Word and read, we'll learn a little bit about ourselves. Well, Jonah fled from the Lord. So he was being unfaithful and disobedient, and shamefully, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want those people to get saved. He knew that God was a gracious God. He knew that God would allow them to repent and be saved. And Jonah was kind of like, no, those people don't deserve it. Just like I was just talking about, maybe your niece or your daughter or your son that you're mad at, they don't deserve grace, do they? Think about that. Because just like Jonah decided that Nineveh didn't deserve God's grace, setting himself up as judge, juror, and executioner, that's not his place. But that's what he did. That's what he was trying to do. That's why he ran from God. And we're doing the same thing if we have a family member or somebody in our lives that we have hatred towards, and we don't want to forgive that person. We're doing the exact same thing. I'm saved. I've got God's grace, but you don't deserve it. That's what we're saying. When all through Scripture, the Bible teaches us that the best that we have is as filthy rags. So how can we look at somebody else and think that you're better than they are because you're not? And it doesn't matter who they are or what they've done. What did Christ do on the cross of Calvary for you? He forgave you. He paid for your sin. He took your sin on himself. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't look at you and say that you didn't deserve it? But that's what he did. When he died on Calvary, he took your filthiness, your unrighteousness, and he put it on himself, and he gave you his righteousness. And then we have gall enough to look at a son or a cousin or a niece or whoever and say that they don't deserve my forgiveness. Folks, that's the world that we live in today. That's what got Jonah in the trouble that he's in. And if that's your attitude today, you're asking for trouble to be in your life. You're asking God to chasten you. Because that's what you're doing. The Mariners, well, look at verse 4 in chapter 1. Go to verse 4. It says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." This is the first of seven miracles that we see in the book of Jonah. God sent out the storm. And the mariners that was on the boat, we talked about that a little while ago, the mariners that was on the boat, they were scared. They was in the same storm Jonah was. And they prayed to all their little g gods here in the story with no hope. They prayed, but no prevail. Nothing happened. So they come to know and find out that Jonah was the cause of the storm. Jonah, now get the picture. Put this picture in your mind. They go to Jonah and they're talking to Jonah. And Jonah tells him. He tells him. Now think about it. He's a prophet. He's a man of God. And he tells him that he worships, basically to put it in a nutshell, he says he worships the Most High God. The God. The God of the Creator God. That's who he worships. That's what he's telling these people. And he's a man of God, but he's running from God. Now think about that. That's the same thing the preacher said. Yep. I believe in the Lord. But I'm running from God. Well, that's the picture that Jonah just painted for them. So they decided, they cast lots, and they decided what we're going to do. We're going to throw this man overboard. And Jonah told them to. We're going to throw him overboard. That was some of his cantankerness, telling him to just toss me in the sea. So that's what they did. And when they did that, the seas ceased and it became calm. Well, at that point, they realized that Jonah's God was God. And they were mightily afraid. And they began to search Jonah's God out. And they began to, and they vowed and prayed to the Lord. And basically they got saved. They believed. Isn't it something how God took bad and made good out of it? Because that's what he did. And it's the same way in our lives when storms come up and things look bad. We don't ever know how God's working. And the storm can be, and it could be somebody else's storm that we're in, or it could be our storm that we're in. But either way, God can take bad and he'll use it for good. And I've seen it many, many times. I've seen how a tragedy can come into one person's life, and then in another life somebody is saved because of that. So we need to keep that in mind and keep that in our focus. Then in verse 115, look at chapter 1, verse 15. It says, so they took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. That was the second of the seven miracles. The sea became calm. And then in verse 17, look at verse 17, we'll see the third miracle. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So that was the third miracle, is the great fish that was prepared. Now in Matthew 12:40, Jesus calls it a whale. And that says a fish here. Jesus calls it a whale, so we'll call it a whale. Amen? It was a whale. And if anybody has any complaints with that, they can take it up with Jesus. Amen? So he was a whale. Now, we also know that Jonah here is a picture of Christ. And he was in the belly 3 days, like Jesus is going to be in the belly of the earth 3 days when he was crucified. Well, you say, well, how is that a picture of Christ? Well, as we read over through the end of the chapter, or the next chapter, we're going to see that he was vomited up onto the beach. So he fell into the death, the belly, and then he was delivered. And he was delivered unto Nineveh. Well, Jesus is going to be crucified, and he's going to be in the belly of the earth, and then he's going to be resurrected to our salvation. Amen? So that's a picture of the Lord Jesus, which is going to take us over here to chapter 2. So let's look at chapter 2. We've got time to read a few verses there. And let me turn my page here so I won't get lost. If I don't keep my notes in front of me, I'll be wandering all over the place. And I'm trying to stay focused for all the good that would do. Okay, verse 1 in chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heareth me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Isn't it amazing? Because that's just the way we are. We have to get to rock bottom. Why is that? Why do we have to get to the very bottom where we can't go any lower before we'll reach out to God? But that's what Jonah has done here. He finally decides to reach out to God. And it says out of hell. Think about that for a moment. When all this started and he wanted to run from the presence of the Lord, no matter where you go on this earth, you're not going to get out of God's presence. I don't care where you go. God's everywhere. So how is Jonah to get out of his presence? You know, there's only one place that you're going to be out of God's presence. That's in hell. And when judgment day comes, you're going to be in hell without the presence of God. That's why it's going to be hell, amen? And the torments that's involved. Well, Jonah's getting a little taste of that. He wanted to be out of God's presence. So God gave him a little taste of that. Well, he decided he didn't like that. But isn't it amazing how he had to reach that far down before he decided to repent? But that's what he did. And that's the same way we are, folks. We'll ride that storm just as long and just as long as we can stand it. Man, I run for 15 years. That's a long time. And it got worse and worse and worse on me. And folks, that's the way it is in all of our lives. As long as we're being disobedient and we're not doing what God asks us to do, we're going to have a storm in our lives. And just like Jonah, we're going to wait till the last second. We're going to ride it out as long as we can. Folks, it'd be much better if you'll just reach out to God and repent. Because no matter how low you are now, no matter how bad things are, God will hear your prayer. If God heard Jonah out of the belly of the whale, in the hell that he was in, don't you think he's going to hear you where you're at today? Folks, all we got to do is call, cry out to the Lord, and he'll change our lives. He'll get us back on the path. And it does not matter how disobedient, how bad, how cantankerous, how ornery, how proud. It doesn't matter how bad we've been. God still loves you. And he will still pull you out of the sin that you're in and put you back on dry ground, just like he pulled Jonah out of the belly of that whale. He will pull you out of whatever you're in today. It doesn't matter what it is. See, our problem is everything what we know in our little minds, that we think that we're so bad that God won't help us. So we got to get better for God to help us. We can't get better without Christ. There's no good thing in us. The only thing good in us is Christ. So folks, all we've got to do is reach out and God will pull us up out of that dirt that we're in. Amen. And my time's up right there, so we'll get back to that next week. Oop.